Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see.
Wow. Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong! Las Culturistas calling!
I love the variation on the sort of the cadence, the melody. You know,
gotta keep it fresh.
Talking is music.
Talking is music. That's a rule of culture number 46.
Talking is music.
Who has the most musical speaking voice you've ever heard?
I would say, I reject the premise of that question because this
love
is what
that.
I'm saying. Everyone is a singer when they're talking.
I believe that everyone can learn to sing. I think that's so beautiful, you know? You might need a higher expensive singing coach, but, you know, if you work hard enough at your job, you could save that and do it as an extracurricular.
Sure, sure. You know, I think singing is just bravery, is just going for it. And, I mean, I say this as someone who knows nothing about singing, but I feel like...
That's not true at all.
If you just are delusional enough to think that you can do it, you can do it.
I literally agree. And I just want to backtrack and say that Bowen is one of the most resonant counter tenors of our time. Adam Lambert was found dead.
No.
Freddie Mercury was found dead. Sorry, but it was literally true at one point.
The two front people of Queen, you're going to compare me to them?
And, I'm coming for the counter tenors today. I'm declaring them
dead.
In the presence of Bowen Yang, one of the most resonant, listen to my words, most resonant counter tenors of our time. Put it on a t-shirt and
Thank
wear it.
Thank you so
it.
Much. Meanwhile, Matt Rogers can't hold a damn tune.
Listen, I don't like that. That was disrespectful.
I'm kidding. He's one of the best singers of all time. One of the best vocalists.
I'm off marijuana for the next month and a half.
You're really going to commit that hard to this? I applaud you, sis. Look, Matt Rogers is touring with his famous yearly show, Have You Heard of Christmas? Please check it out. I cannot recommend
well,
you see this.
Well, it's sold out.
It's sold out. Please.
You can't come. Sorry.
As they say every Tuesday, and especially in voter suppressed states, stay in line. Stay in line.
It's actually rule of culture number 50.
Stay in line.
Okay. I will say that this episode is coming out on Wednesday, and so tonight it is November 10th, and you can come see me and Greta Tittleman for the New York Comedy Festival at the Bell House. We have a show at 7:30 and also at 10 p.m. Stay in line.
How you doing? I asked you that question as a way of gracelessly segueing into how I'm doing, which is not well. I'm working with a sty. I have a sty coming in.
You don't. Oh no.
I put rice in a sock. I'm putting it in the microwave for 20 seconds. I'm doing a hot sort of compress kind of thing.
I hope that works. I'm just going to tell you I threw up last night.
What's going on?
So I went to Palm Springs Pride and sort of did that.
Is Palm Springs Pride in November?
Yeah, it is, famously. They do Pride a couple months later than everyone else.
A few, yeah, several. What was it? What was the experience like?
Really good until it was really bad. I was having a really good time.
You threw
and
up.
Then I sort of, as you say, went too hard and threw up like I was 17.
Damn.
Because of partying too much. But I did sort of start a new era.
The beaded necklace era?
I'm in my necklace era now.
I love it. I think this is a long time coming. You actually have avoided jewelry. You are very accessory phobic, and that's bigoted of you.
Yeah. Well, I don't like them.
But now you do.
I'm a bigot against them until now. And it's sort of, it takes different people different paces. You know what I mean?
I know.
In my necklace era. This is actually Tony Gomez's necklace that I stole. He's not going to like that. How much I'm going to wear it over the next week. I told him I would keep it safe, but I left the party we were at last night early to go throw up.
Got it.
So I ended up sort of being like, can I wear that? And he was like, yes. And now I still have it on. And I will continue to wear it until I give it back to him, which I will.
That's nice. And I like that you are sort of making it time bound and saying only a week.
Right. Holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
Speaking of singing, just to sort of make this one of the most chaotic intros to any podcast ever to sort of return to the front of it. Could you imagine Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande in the Wicked movie?
We haven't talked about this.
We haven't spoken about it until now. And no gays have until now.
I mean, what's remarkable is everyone's happy.
That's what's remarkable about it.
Like, when does this ever happen anymore? That people are like, yes, they got it right.
I mean, casting has certainly been controversial this year.
And on many different projects.
On many different projects, but not the Wicked movie. Not Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
The stakes couldn't be higher. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, because as we famously know, it's one of the most famous rules of culture. Playing Elphabet is
war.
And this woman is about to go to war.
But we've made her the general.
She has been named general of the Battle of Wicked. And she will go into battle sometime next year.
Yeah.
She's going into battle this London. This yep. summer in London.
Uh-huh.
And she will emerge victorious. Okay?
Yeah.
That's and Ariana huge. Grande is sort of the lieutenant. This is of how I'm assuming wars work. There's general and lieutenant.
General and lieutenant. I don't know how that sort of order breaks down, but...
No one does.
I have nothing to add to the conversation except I'm thrilled.
Here's what I would say.
Thank you.
Great job casting.
Great job casting.
We'll see you there.
I think the director is also a perfect sort of...
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chu.
Mr. Chu, Mr. M. Chu. Can't wait for his take on it. I mean...
And we're available, too. Just saying.
We're available. I mean, one of us might be... I think we've got a Fiera, we've got a Bach here. That's all we're saying.
And if they sort of want... If they want to see tapes.
If they want to see tapes, it's fine.
But you know who I would cast?
Oh my God. See, our guest this week would really work in any of
in any
the male roles
role
or the female roles, the animal roles, the genderless roles, whatever. I think.
Morrible.
He'd be a great Morrible, would be a great Dillamond.
Oh, you said it.
I said it.
Speak it out loud.
We'll speak it out loud. Our guest is really just pretty phenomenal. I alluded to him earlier when he came on the Zoom that I've been a close follower for a long time. And I would like to tell him in person very soon. So let's just bring him in.
It was a perfect illusion.
It was a perfect illusion. He is such a wonderful
Stunning.
Person. Stunning. He was the adorable PA on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. He was a writer on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He has written for Black Monday, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Now he hosts the wonderful podcast, I Said No Gifts.
I love saying that. I said no gifts because it can be
no
angry,
gifts.
It can be sweet, it can be genuine, it can be just something you say.
A perfect sort of soundbite for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Good title,
great title. He tries to destroy his guests every episode, and they always undermine him by bringing a gift, and they always end up talking about what's under the wrapping. He's so funny, so wonderful.
Yes.
It's sort of, I think, unfortunately, I feel like he is now the ambassador to Salt Lake City for some people.
Which I wish I could turn the computer around. I just can't. But frozen up there is Maryam Cosby with her eyes wide open, screaming at Whitney, who she now has a problem with. I'm very excited to sort of get into it with the guest.
Me too. But anyway, we're so, so thrilled to have him. Everyone, please welcome
Bridger Weinegar!
Okay.
Oh, you too. God bless. God bless. I had dinner at 4:30.
You did?
I had a full dinner at 4:30 p.m.
How was it? So what did you eat? So how did you feel sated?
I had a chicken salad. I had to... Look, I knew we were going to be recording. I have a gym appointment at 8 p.m.
What?
If
Damn.
I ate after this recording, I would throw up.
Yes.
This is the scheduling that's just dominating my life now.
Wow.
A full dinner, 4:30.
I will say this. I was recently with my parents on vacation, and they have dinner at 4:30. So this is very parental of you. This is very full-grown adult dinner at 4:30.
This is Thanksgiving time. I'm saying the timing is very Thanksgiving. It's like, wait, we're eating. Okay, I guess we're eating at 3 because the turkey's been in the oven for 8 hours, you know?
Right. Everyone will be hungry at 2 and everyone will be hungry at 7:30.
Yes.
Well, we're so sorry that you had to sort of shift your schedule.
This is my life now.
Yeah.
My gym is only open on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it just creates an issue for me every Monday.
Bridger, describe your lifestyle. What's a typical Monday? Let's just stick to Mondays. What's
yeah,
a Monday like for you? If you weren't recording a podcast, what would that look like?
If I weren't recording a podcast, I would, you know, I get up. Well, we are in daylight savings, you know, the
sure
shadow
yes
of daylight savings, ending or beginning. I don't know. I'll wake up at around 7:30.
Okay.
I get out of bed. I make some coffee.
Yep.
I do a little reading. I eat my protein bar, which does not register as a flavor in my mouth anymore because I've had the same thing. It's absolutely something to chew and swallow.
Yeah.
Then I'll go to work. We start at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We go till noon. We have a lunch break.
Okay.
Sure. What do you eat then?
Then I'm
on
eating
a Monday.
I'm eating a protein shake. The first like pause 9 right hours of my right day now. Are horrible.
Stop right now. Stop the pops. Are you trying to sound like an ideal? Because
no.
I think you've come on this podcast so that you could say what your Monday routine is so you can sound like an ideal. Because you've said you've not missed one step so far. It's a lot of protein and health and waking up early and reading and having
gym
a job.
Appointments at 8.
None of this is by choice. Look, pre-Zoom writer's rooms, I was, you know, we would have lunch at work.
Yes.
Lunch was being purchased for me. I didn't have to think about that element. Now I have to fend for myself, which I know most of America is screaming, fuck you.
Yeah, they are.
But a nice little thing about being in a writer's room is occasionally you get a mediocre sandwich for lunch.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
But now I can't think about it, so I'm making a protein shake.
Sure.
That's is the thing. Awful. That is very astute. I feel like this is just transferring from pre-COVID where you were not making decisions necessarily about what you were eating for lunch. That was sort of being made for you on some level. You would choose the particular kind of sandwich you would get.
Right.
But now that you're, you know, doing writer's room from home, you've maintained that decision fatigue and you're just like, I don't want to think about it. And therefore, I'm just going to make the same protein shake.
I also can't cook. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to a restaurant during the
Lisa
lunch break.
Lisa Barlow vibes.
Yeah.
I'm stumbling into my kitchen. I'm making the protein shake. I'm out of bananas at this point, so it's even worse
Damn.
Than usual.
Shit.
And I'm eating it. It's fine. I can't make a decision. Someone canceled on brunch on me yesterday. It was two full hours of me trying to decide what to do with the rest of my day. I ended up vacuuming.
No. Yeah, well, at least it was something useful. Can I ask you a question? So basically, if you're in a group of people, whether it's at work or whatever, and there's that moment where someone says, they sort of throw their head over their one shoulder and they go, so what should we get for lunch? Are you someone who weighs in or are you someone who's like, I'm going with the flow of what everyone wants? And by that same token, would you ever be the one person who says, hey guys, sorry, I know everyone wants this, but I don't? What role do you play in a lunch decision?
He hasn't had to be in this position in a
while. I know, but I'm just asking in terms of who you are as an individual, because we want to get to know you. That's why people listen to the podcast. Who are you at lunch?
It's an absolutely fair question. And I am someone who will go along with almost anything. I will eat garbage. But it was actually at Black Monday. There were two restaurants. I think one of the restaurants started with the word doctor. I can't remember what it was, but the first time we had it, it was so revolting and made everyone feel so bad that when the writer picked that restaurant again to eat at, I said, no, we can't do that. We're not doing that.
Doctor. Yeah, no.
Also, the second one is it a Los Angeles chain, Tender Greens?
Yes.
Yeah.
They served me salmon that was gelatinous.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was essentially pudding. And after that, I said, I have to stand up. We're not ordering from Tender Greens anymore.
We're not doing Tender Greens? Damn.
You know, the fried chicken at Tender Greens is really suspect. it's really suspect.
Expensive cafeteria food.
You're
100%
right.
Both of you better be careful. You both underestimate your own personal power and influence here. I mean, you have collectively combined the power to take them down.
I hope so.
Wait, I don't want anyone sort of having gelatinous salmon or that suspect fried chicken. I will say every time we order Tender Greens now, I will get a soup. I think their chicken soup is really good. And that's a hack. That's a hack.
Soup is a hack for almost any restaurant.
Soup is iconic. It's rule of culture number 103. Soup is iconic.
It's such a hack when you order something that's on the menu at a place. It's such a hack.
Wait, People don't think about soup. They don't think about soup, and it's a nominee for
best
lunch.
That's not true. I always year-round think about soup.
I think about it all the time.
Ask anybody at 30 Rock. I do know something about Bridger, about his sort of restaurant choices that I find so charming and I relate to so much, is that Bridger for a while on Twitter back in like 2011-12 had a whole run about Arby's, and he is an Arby's queen.
Arby's is so good and never gets talked about.
But Bridger, can you talk about this? You did have a whole series of tweets. Okay, first of all, I want to say that Bridger was one of the please, this is so humiliating. I'm so sorry, Bridger. I would say that Bridger was like one of those like quote-unquote early Twitter, like, oh, this person's so funny. Like, this was back when you would follow people on Twitter because they were just just cranking out funny, funny stuff.
Yeah.
Before it like became what it is now. It still is that to some degree, but like Bridger was one of those people where I was like, oh my God, this guy is so funny. And then he had a bunch of tweets about like going to Arby's, you know, meeting people at Arby's. Maybe today I'll go to Arby's. And there was one tweet that I will never forget. I know it word for word. This is one of my favorite top tweets of all time. Bridger, I'm so sorry to do this. This is so embarrassing.
He's not sorry at all. He wants to do it. That's why he's doing it.
I'm glad for Arby's.
Glad for Arby's too. Okay, and I haven't had them in a while, but this is the tweet. And I'm kind of spoiling the tweet already, but this is...
Spoiler alert for the tweet. If you want to see the tweet, just go back, look back in 2011-12. You can read it yourself, but you've been warned.
This is a Bridger Weiniger classic. Can you guess where I am? Hint. I am looking at a person. Parentheses. The person is wearing a shirt. Other parentheses. I am at Arby's.
Oh, no.
It's the perfect tweet. It's the perfect tweet.
Congratulations. Can we get a ding, ding, ding sound effect?
Ding, ding, ding.
Perfect
ding,
tweet
thank you,
award.
I'm just a puddle. And I'm thrilled about... Look, I've been brought on here and now I'm just proudly owning how much I love Arby's.
It's good to be trash,
I will say Arby's, the menu's too big. We've got to narrow it down.
Wow.
Arby's is shooting out some experimental things there. You make the roast beef sandwich. It's a very suspicious product.
Yeah.
I enjoy eating.
Yeah.
But when you start putting that into like a gyro, what are we talking? Just do your thing.
So you just wish Arby's was more like an In-N-Out situation, a lean menu,
yes,
few things that everyone loves that are undeniably good.
We could all learn something from In-N-Out, you know.
Especially their anti-vax.
Well, anti-vax, Bible verses.
Yeah.
those are the two things.
Those
mostly.
Are the two things.
Are they anti-vax?
The owner is very anti-vax. He's pushing back against a lot of vaccine, not mandates, but like checking like vaccination status, whatever. We don't
this
have to
coming
get into
from
it.
Bowen Chick-fil-A Yang. I just want to say, he is an absolute icon of whispering to me, should we go to Chick-fil-A? And I'm like, no.
Bridger will relate to this. Chick-fil-A, I feel like, is this thing that...
Listen to this explanation, Queen.
Hear me out. Like
I am.
It was. I don't know exactly where it originated, but it feels like Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, like that part of the country, like Rockies, west of Midwest. Mm-hmm. Like that was like our thing, and then in the years after like 2007, it's really fucking like metastasized into this Chick-fil-A thing that we know now.
Jesus got involved.
Well, Jesus was always involved. Let's get that straight. But
title
like
of
that,
app.
Jesus was always involved.
Let's get that straight.
So it was a thing where like if you grew up in let's say Aurora, Colorado, like me, you would go to Chick-fil-A and be like, oh right, they're closed on Sundays, but you know all the Mormon kids work there, and we're all gonna go and like drink a lemonade, and it was just like part of the life. It was like built into the lifestyle there. Is that fair to say, Bridger?
Weirdly. Sort of. Chick-fil-A was only in malls in Utah.
Okay.
And it dwindled. There was
really?
One remaining Chick-fil-A in Fashion Place Mall for years. It was
Fashion Place
Fashion
Mall?
Place.
Where you want to go, obviously.
It was the saddest Chick-fil-A. And then, around 2007, comes roaring back.
Mm. Yeah.
It's all over the place. And now people kind of own it almost as a political thing.
Of course.
Which is just mind-boggling. I had a straight writer say to my face... Sorry, I just like how it tastes.
Oh.
What are we? I'm sorry, it's a fine chicken sandwich. You don't have to like throw it in my face. That's the thing I feel bad about. It's like, the sandwich is fine.
It's fine.
It's a fine sandwich.
But when you have places like Tender Greens who are doing chicken so wrong, it's at least nice to go to Chick-fil-A and where I have done it. And at least you know they're going to do their chicken right. But you know who else does chicken tenders right? Arby's.
They do chicken. Thank you.
Incredibly well. They do chicken incredibly well, and they have a soda swap. The one in Times Square has the one with all the incredible sodas, where you can say it's not just root beer, it's vanilla root beer, it's not just Dr. Pepper, it's cherry Dr. Pepper. That you can swip and swap, do all the sorts of things.
I am so happy to hear about. No one knows about Arby's chicken tenders.
They don't know because they're sued. Because you said it. You said it. It's the menu's too big.
Okay. The menu's too big.
Isolate. Yeah. In and out. We do burgers. Bye. See you later.
I feel like the soda swap, as Matt calls it. When Matt says soda swap, he means like...
That iconic thing.
It's a Coke freestyle.
There you go.
Freestyle.
King behavior.
Oh my God. This is the writer brain really working.
Yes. In that way that he knew what it was really called, that's that writer brain.
Oh yeah.
But I think he invented the term sort of off the cuff. Mm-hmm.
I wish.
Coke freestyle. That's actually
Coke freestyle.
So hot.
Oh, that's hot. But it was, I feel like this is also a big thing among Mormons who can't drink alcohol, can't have caffeine, can't like, or I mean, they can't have Coca-Cola, obviously, but at least they can get creative with like adding some syrups to a phosphate, to a Sprite, to whatever. Is that also fair to say?
Bowen, this is the most confusing thing. Maybe the most, well, no, it's not the most confusing thing about Mormonism, but yeah, one of the most confusing things.
A lot
of Mormons drink Coke.
Lisa Barlow they can't vibes.
Drink, it's Diet coffee. Coke.
Yeah.
Coffee is the one definite no.
Why?
What?
Do you have an answer to why? Because I know you sort of left the church. You were like a Heather Gay, in, when you were a teenager. Is that correct?
I didn't come out till I was 30.
Oh my goodness!
Oh,
you didn't leave Mormonism until you were 30.
It was a slow exit from Mormonism starting when I was like 19, 20.
Okay, so got it. So that feels pretty. I would say that all makes sense. Like based on like a lot of this journey, it feels like that is sort of the way it gets tracked these days.
Yes,
but talk about the sodas.
So the soda culture, caffeine culture within Mormonism is baffling to everyone. I'm going to just be a spokesperson for the Mormon Church at this point and just let people know.
I'm sorry to make you do this.
We've got to clear it up.
I think it needs to be you because there's so many voices on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I want to know like how you can distill it so we can understand it. And then I want to know who you identify with most on the show.
Oh,
but through the lens of soda.
I just feel like I'm sorry to put you in this position.
Don't apologize.
No, that was the plan all along.
I want to reach out to Mormons everywhere and say you can have any caffeinated soda. You can have a Coke, a Diet Coke,
yes,
a Mountain Dew, a Diet Mountain Dew, a Pepsi, a Diet Pepsi if it's the only thing at Arby's.
Yes.
Can you have cream soda?
You can you have so much cream soda. Non-stop cream soda.
Wow.
Goodness, wicked.
Cannot have coffee.
Cannot have coffee?
Cannot have caffeinated tea.
What?
Is it a terrestrial drink? Is it a devil's drink? Is it a outer darkness drink?
It's an outer darkness. Well, no, there are very few people who go to outer darkness.
What is that?
Basically, within Mormonism, outer darkness is like ultimate hell.
Wait, Heather Gay was just talking about this on this episode.
Yes.
I didn't know this, that there's different levels of
hell. I only saw the last half of the episode.
Yeah, and
because Bravo put it on at 9:30.
I know. It was really weird what they did. They were
confusing.
Being trickerous.
But this was the big one because Jen gets arrested.
Yeah, I saw the good part.
Heather sort of delineates it. She goes, there's celestial, there's, what's the one below that?
Maybe telestial?
Telestial, terrestrial,
yes.
Outer darkness. Yeah,
outer darkness. And outer darkness is reserved for truly 11 people or something. It's like, like the rule is if you meet God and then deny God, you go to outer darkness.
So
it's very few people get that opportunity. Everyone else kind of just goes to heaven.
Yeah. Honey.
I met God and she said, babe, you better stick with me. And I said, no, bitch. I left. Whatever.
I met God. I said, never mind, queen. I'm turning around. You watch my fat ass walk away. Where's outer darkness? Taking the elevator down there, honey. Heat it up. Beat it up.
Stop. Anyway, this is so humiliating. I'm sorry, Bridger.
Stop apologizing. This was the plan all along.
But I feel like you must. I feel this way when people ask me about like my upbringing. I'm like, I don't want to sort of get re-traumatized in the recounting of certain things. It's not that severe, but I'm like, oh, but it is sort of like I gotta, you know, sort of exhume all that stuff from my life and be like, oh, what do you think?
For me, it's like people just don't know how to modulate. They'll find out and then they don't ask anything and then it's weird, or they ask everything. And I'd much rather people just ask everything. I don't care.
Okay, great.
I'm happy to talk about it. And we all have to get on the same page about Mormons drinking soda.
Yes.
The Mormon church should be putting out ads. Yeah, you can drink. Maybe it's like a collab with Coke.
Yes.
Something.
Well, Lisa Barlow is essentially advertising Diet Coke on the show. And so when there was a question about soda consumption on the podcast just now, I really was thrown for a loop because here she is already throwing it in the face of God, outer darkness shit, drinking tequila and even selling it mass market. And she's obviously a huge fan of Diet Coke. But these things are sort of acceptable, I suppose.
Yes. Lisa Barlow's entire relationship with Mormonism is baffling. It's like, what part of the religion are you involved in? Because it doesn't seem to be the religion. And her family is going to die. They eat at Del Taco three meals a day. It's crazy.
It's wild.
Those but little wolf boys.
I relate to that soda consumption.
Yeah.
You're talking to two soda heads.
Soda queens. When I was little, I actually think the reason I am the way I am is because growing up in the 90s, I think it hadn't hit Long Island that soda was bad. So when I was growing up, every dinner, there was three types of soda on the table. There was a full 2-liter bottle of Sprite, a full 2-liter bottle of Coke, and a full 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke.
The Trinity.
The Trinity, really.
So what were you drinking?
That's Coke. Sometimes Sprite when I was feeling like maybe we'll just chill tonight. You know what I mean?
I was at dinner with a friend a week ago and he ordered himself a Sprite. I could not believe my eyes.
Who is this person?
The very funny writer, John Milstein.
Okay.
He's wonderful. Very funny. And he told me there's a secret group of people who are drinking Sprite. Adults.
It's true.
Wait, I'm not so secretly the preferred drink in any situation for me is a Sprite. No alcohol, just I want a Sprite. The most refreshing drink in the world.
Well, it's one of the best kept secrets. All the coolest people are drinking Sprite. And it's like, it needs to be known.
Do you guys want to know the Mandarin translation of Sprite?
Yeah.
It's xue bi, which roughly translates to, I might be getting this wrong, but xue means snow. And I think it means snow nectar, like snow juice.
That incredible. Is gorgeous.
Isn't that beautiful? And I'm like, that is...
I would drink Sprite. But that's the same thing with Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is a beautiful name.
Gorgeous name.
Mountain Dew is absolutely stunning name. I wish that it tasted as good as it sounded. Because you hear Mountain Dew, and then you sort of drink what it is, and you're like, oh, that feels like Super Sprite. It doesn't feel like Mountain Dew.
One of the darkest moments of my closeted life was probably 2012. Mm. I was living in a studio mid-city Los Angeles.
Wow, mid-city.
For some reason, I walked to the nearby Ralph's at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. and purchased a Diet Mountain Dew. Started mm-hmm. drinking it on my way back. Passed through a group of like tall, very good-looking, very well-dressed men near the El Rey Theater. And as I'm passing through, I look over and like this far away as I'm drinking Diet Mountain Dew is Morrissey. I've never felt lower. Just trash. Oh. Just absolute trash.
Did he notice you drinking this Diet Mountain
I'm
Dew?
I'm sure.
It just screams out the packaging, really. It's just like letting
yes,
you know.
It's neon green.
The only thing worse is to drink a Mountain Dew Code Red. Because the packaging is literally Code Red. I mean, it's alerting everyone around.
I feel like Morrissey would not judge someone for drinking a Diet Mountain Dew. And it feels like maybe even like a very Smiths-esque thing to drink one at like past 11 p.m. in mid-city. Like it feels that's part of the imagery that the Smiths evoke.
I absolutely disagree.
I think so. I think that's true. This charming man drinking a Diet Mountain Dew.
I would go out tonight, but I've got a Diet Mountain Dew at home.
That's perfect. I think that's perfect. Okay, so before we ask you our question that we always ask our guests, I mean, this is compulsory at this point for you. What are your thoughts? I'm sure you've been asked so many times by people. What are your thoughts on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Are you enjoying it? Does it feel reflective of your memory of it or, you know, the way you conceive of Salt Lake City? What are your
'cause it is his Housewives intro. Because I heard on your episode of your podcast with Cole Escola that you had not waded the waters of Housewives. You just said, okay, if they're doing Salt Lake City, let me just see what the fuck it is.
It's a beautiful gateway, I think.
I agree.
I had seen maybe one episode of Beverly Hills and was not hooked. And this has sucked me in a way that I could have never imagined.
It's quite good.
Beautiful.
I went back home for the first time since the pandemic in April. I saw my parents, and then I borrowed my mom's car, and at about 8:30 p.m. drove to Beauty Lab and just to see the building.
Oh my God, you didn't go in?
Well, it was closed, so I went the next day and went in.
You went in. What? Okay, explain what it's like to walk into Beauty Lab and Laser. I want a full trip report.
Well, I was familiar with this parking lot. This parking lot is the area. There's like a, there used to be a sporting goods store. There was the like weird, like teacher supply store where you would like go to get things for school supplies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there was maybe a Skipper's fish and chips for a very long time. So I was like familiar.
Gonna put a pin in that because I want to go there. I'm writing it down. Skipper's fish and chips, iconic.
The moment I saw Beauty Lab on the show, I was like, oh, I know that's a very trashy parking lot that's located in.
Sure.
I go there and I pulled up and I thought, I'm going to go in and just act like not, like I'm not familiar with the show. I just want to look at the menu. What's happening here? I went in and caved immediately. I said, I'm sorry. I'm a huge fan of the show and I just had to come in. And they loved, they were thrilled. They were beyond thrilled. Oh, do you want to get a picture? Do you want to get a picture? They take you right back to the angel wings. You know, they have one of those terrible street art angel wings. I got my, they took my photo. I have sunglasses on because they're prescription. I look insane. And then I left. It's, the whole thing felt very like Soviet hospital.
Right.
Oh my God.
Like there, like I felt like there were weird little curtains and it just didn't, because it feels almost medical, but not.
Not really.
Not really.
It's beauty
Soviet
medical.
Soviet hospital.
So, but they were so welcoming and thrilled to have me. I've got photos. And then my sister knew where, or the whereabouts of, or like basically where Whitney Rose lives, because they have like a, she lives in this area called Daybreak and it's a very clear maybe where she was. My sister, God bless, has not seen the show, drove me around until we found Whitney's house and I got my picture outside of it.
Oh my God. So Heather was not at Beauty Lab and Whitney may have been inside, but you don't know.
Yeah, let's assume she was inside.
Sure.
Let's assume she was inside.
It was the pandemic still.
And let's assume Heather was doing work.
Oh, yeah.
She was blasting definitely someone's face or something.
Behind one of the USSR curtains. Right. I mean, do you have a temperature read on what Salt Lake City as a community, as a municipal community, how they are affected by this show?
I have a little bit. I feel like there's a decent amount of embarrassment.
Okay.
That has to be true.
I feel like practicing Mormons are probably annoyed.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the experience that these women have feels very far removed from Utah in general.
Right.
Especially like Meredith. I mean, she, it seems like she's like, doesn't even live there.
She's,
I feel like she flies
in
to shoot.
She's a full-on New Yorker.
Yeah, right.
It's very clear based on her Instagram activity that that's the case.
I won't say how they're related to me or anything because I don't know how well Lisa knows them, but I do have someone in my life who has interacted with Lisa and not a great report. I also know someone, again, I wish I could give more details, but
that's okay. You always can.
Is this going to get me sued? Mary not acting well at an event.
Sure. Okay.
That's all you have to say?
I don't think
we can
acted
fill
well
in the blanks
on a single event depicted on the show, so I don't think that's going to get you sued. I think that she's libelous for bad behavior at events.
Right. I really wish I could tell more about this. I will say, like, also things about bills not getting paid, that kind of... You know, when I started talking about it on Instagram, like, people from high school or whatever would reach out and be like, oh, this person, like, we almost had to call collections on, this sort of thing. So it's like, oh, people, they're in the community, and they are probably all terrible. Although, I kind of love them.
100%.
I'm hitting critical mass with Mary, unfortunately. I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can watch this.
She's like got a big episode this week. I'm going to tell you, like, she's completely unhinged. It's really, dark, and I think it's going to get darker.
Let me ask you guys what you think about Jenny, because I think she just seems like the most normal person who has been sucked into this.
Yeah.
It's like, she stumbled into the show and she doesn't belong there. She's just a nice, she has a healthy, normal, well, the husband stuff with the baby got weird. But they seem otherwise. They're doing science projects at home or whatever. And then there's never any drama other than like, we're at the ski resort. And now I'm going to tell you, you have to have a baby and I'm going to marry someone else.
Yeah. There you go, Bridger. It's that there doesn't seem to be any drama because I don't think there is. And I honestly think the stuff with her husband is a little, it smells a little manufactured to me.
Which is crazy because she's truly like the fish are nibbling at her legs and she's talking about her 10th miscarriage. It's like,
I know.
This is not something you should be pressured into talking about.
We're not high on Jenny. We're not high on Jenny and we don't know about
it's
the future.
It's too bad. And like, I hate to, I do agree with you on everything you've said, Bridger. And it feels like, I don't mean to say this in a way that like, to frame it in terms of belonging, because that's like a touchy sort of thing to throw out there when it comes to like, I'm sorry to go here, but like an Asian person feeling belonging anywhere is tough, like in this country, but like on the show, it's tough because it feels like there is this effort and it's a little sweaty. And then I'm making this comparison rhetorically to like a Crystal Kung Min Kha, for example. And I'm like, There's just like it's not that it's an Asian thing, and it's more that like I think Jenny's probably, like you said, just like a lovely normal person who's has a really interesting backstory, but like is otherwise pretty well adjusted, and then kind of has to like do the reality show persona drag that like I think Jen Shah does, but then oh wait, she's actually a despicable person, like that's right.
It's That's horrifying to me if it's true or not true. So if it's true that her husband Dewey is saying to her on camera for the first time, I want to have children despite the fact that you've had 9 miscarriages and a stillbirth and you are in your 40s and your body is not able to have children, it doesn't matter to me. You should have a baby. And if you don't want to have one, we should introduce another woman into our relationship. If it's actually true that that is happening on the show and it's unfolding as real drama, that's awful. And if they're faking it, it's also awful. And it's either true or it isn't. So it's bad either way.
I wish she could have just had a normal life. I feel like this whole thing.
I wish for everyone a normal life. Can I say that?
That's all.
Rule of culture number 11. I wish for everyone
to have a normal life.
That's all I really want for everyone.
They seem so, it seems like a happy family.
Yeah.
Well, on this episode, like, Mary doesn't invite her to her Italian cooking lesson. So they're at home, and it's literally, this is the scene. It's Jenny in the kitchen, like, washing her hands to cook, and her children are like the Von Trapps. They come in one by one. Mommy, what are you doing? Can I help you cook? Well, yes. I was planning on making dinner. Of course. Well, let me just get my hands washed and clean as well so that I can help. Okay, wonderful. The next kid comes in. Hey, are you guys cooking in here together? Might I join? Absolutely. Wash your hands. And it's just like, what the fuck is this?
That's the show I want.
I guess you're right.
Hours of that show.
I guess you're right. I suppose you're right.
Oh,
all right. Well, before we drop into the outer darkness that is talking about only this show on this podcast and don't test us, we should ask the question that we ask all of our guests. Bridger, what was the culture that made you say culture is for you? So this is basically asking, what was the culture that sort of made you into the person that you are? This could be popular culture, film, television, music, theater, etc., dance, or just general culture. What's it for you if you're looking back and assessing?
I will say my family, zero, God bless my parents, terrible taste.
Okay.
Both of my older brothers, zero taste.
Sure. Yeah.
No peek into the outside world. The only tiny peek I had into anything was that for some reason my parents watched Letterman, which is so out of the ordinary for them. Which truly, like, Letterman was kind of how I was introduced to Amy Sedaris, which became Strangers with Candy. And that the fact that if that didn't exist, I would probably be at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake or something. It's truly that tiny, because there was no other culture.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know.
That's a great answer. Oh, I love that.
I want to know, though, what was life filled with if there wasn't, like, culture and, like, arts? Like, was it
video
a lot
games.
Of... Okay, cool.
Okay, great. So,
video games were a nice, safe entry into... which led to the internet, which is another, like, that was another little peek into the world.
Right. Was it, like, StarCraft, like, BattleNet stuff? And then you were, like, you learned how this all worked? Or was it Diablo 2? Like, what, like this link with the internet is important.
It was early looking up Mario 64 rumors.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, before the N64 was announced?
Yes.
Because that was a launch title.
That was a launch title, and I, one of the most mortifying experiences I had as... I don't know, sixth or seventh grader was, I was so obsessed reading about Mario that my sister's friend Ashley called and I answered the phone Mario and I thought, now everyone knows I'm a nerd.
I would think it was funny.
The secret was out. Secret was out.
That was your big secret.
But yeah, Mario, which led into, I still think so much about video games despite the fact that I play maybe two a year.
Mm. I'm the same way. I don't play them with the sort of, I don't know, availability I wish I played more, but mm-hmm. I think about them all the time.
Yeah, I guess it's just a disease I'll live with until I die. The fact that, like, at 75, I'll be thinking about video games feels far-fetched.
Yeah.
But here we are, decades later.
Was it, and then what, talk about, I have such indelible memories of, I wasn't even playing Mario 64. I was just watching someone else do it. And I was like, this is
incredible. Younger sibling culture right there.
Not even that. It wasn't even my sister. It was like other kids in the neighborhood. And I'd be like, this is insane.
Well, graphically, that was like a new frontier.
It was a whole new thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a giant shift in the way anything worked for as far as computers went, right?
Absolutely.
As far as video games went in terms of like 3D motion, it was like, and then just, I mean, think about like, I think all the time about how they got it so right in that game. Genius to be like, okay, it's going to be at the castle, but then you jump into these paintings mm-hmm. to go into the level. Like, genius. That would still work today. That is still innovative today, and that is crazy to me. I don't know.
Be right out of the gate in a medium and do it right feels wild to me.
It's like landing the Mars rover. It's like you have like a one square inch of terrain to land on, and you gotta land it just right.
Exactly.
And where did you feel? Yeah, did you feel that way about Zelda?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, just completely Banjo-Kazooie.
Loved Banjo-Kazooie.
It's underrated.
Banjo-Kazooie actually doesn't get talked about.
I feel like Kazooie is a very gay... I mean, they're both very gay characters.
They're both gay.
There's kind of this sassy bird, and the like. Banjo's kind of sexy. He's got nothing but shorts
not
on.
Not kind of. Just a
he's a hot bear.
Also, like, I'm sorry, but can I just stick up for my girl Donkey Kong? Because Donkey Kong, I feel like, gets the shaft, and... I'm really excited because Super Nintendo World is getting, there's going to be Donkey Kong roller coasters in them. So we're not just doing first thought like, oh, it's Super Nintendo World and it's going to be Mario only. Donkey Kong will be represented and it matters. So am I with Donkey Kong people?
Minecart.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Minecart.
If that roller coaster isn't a minecart, then the whole thing should be shut down.
And let me tell you something, Bridger. You're going to be excited. Guess what? It's a minecart roller coaster, babe. And it jumps the track.
That can't be true.
Well, then I guess you're going to eat your goddamn hat, aren't you?
That's going to be true. They can't possibly jump the track. That is such
Bowen
a safety hazard.
Yang, look it up. Because guess what? It's going to appear to jump the track, but there's going to be a track underneath the track. There's going to be a track underneath the track. So there's going to be like a single rail track and
that's
then like
a
quote
jump.
Unquote track. And it's going to appear to jump the track.
An illusion.
Very much so. A perfect illusion.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I think they should commit it's a binary thing. They either do it or they don't.
Bowen wants to be soaring through the air in a minecart.
Absolutely.
Potentially suing Universal.
Yes.
They're making a movie with Donkey Kong. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We can't let these characters talk.
It's the, you know what it is? It's that thing of, it's like all the Nintendo characters together. And so now Chris Pratt is Mario. And so they announced the cast for this like Mario movie. And I was the casting is all over the place. I felt like Chris Pratt should have been Donkey Kong.
That makes
sense.
I
was like, just the casting was literally all over the place. Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach, which I loved.
Sure.
And then the rest of it, all the male characters were like, Jack Black should not be that one. He should be this one, that one, the other one. But, you know, whatever.
Who's Jack Black?
We could pull it
up. Who cares?
I mean, Mario's in the conversation. I do want to talk about Letterman for a bit, but let's just
talk about it while I pull
it
up. I'm pulling it up.
Okay. I mean, I feel like for us, you know, friends of Dorothy, whatever, like the Sedaris interviews were always like just such a moment, you know?
Just the best television I could watch.
The best television, and like I remember them specifically, like the one she came on when, like, cause she would just like, they would just call her up when like a guest would drop out. Mm-hmm. She'd like run up the street, and then, you know, like Dwayne Wade was there, and then she had this whole thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where she was like, Dwayne. And then like she would like promote, she promoted the Strangers with Candy movie, which felt like a beautiful moment because like she actually had something to promote.
She would always have a new dress, which I think would be purchased with the money from the previous appearance. Which I love. And she would talk about like being a waiter, things like this. It just, everything she did was perfect. She would give tours. I feel like she gave a tour of her neighborhood at one point that was just electric.
I mean, I feel like there is something about Letterman that like would work today despite all of like the culture being pulled in a million different directions, but like he was the person who was able to pull off being an asshole in the way that like you could say that like Larry David does now, but like for like his persona as a late night host was so right, even though he was like a jerk and like has like shitty opinions, of course, but like you could tell that like it's like the only person that like Tina Fey would like love to go on and like she would like prepare stuff for him. And then like the Paris Hilton interview, I unfortunately think that it is still like it's humiliating for her, obviously, and it's like not.
Yeah, but why did she go on that show at that time? It's like, you know what I mean? Like I understand it's painful for her now, but it's like ultimately, like why would you book her on that show? Think he's gonna be nice?
I just that is like people can come for me. I think that is one of the funniest moments in late night TV. Is
at
like,
the time, Paris was like courting negative attention,
And sort of like loving it, and like I don't know, like doing pretty despicable things. Not that that like calls for her humiliation on like a late night show, but like I just feel like this is not like she's not completely a victim in this scenario. Unfortunately, and I feel like Dave was just kind of having fun with her. Like, can I just say, this is so, I'm sorry to make this about me, but like when Anna Dresden and I were writing the Iceberg Weekend Update, we were basing it off of that interview.
Oh my God.
We were
no
like
way.
Someone who is uncomfortable, does not want to talk about something and is trying to deflect and is being like, I'm actually here to talk about something else. And like, that was what we based it on.
That
like, we were like,
perfect.
We have to study this. We have to really study this. And like, this is how we're going to like write it. And I watched that back last year, and I was like, this is, of course, uncomfortable. But like, I don't know. Like when the guy cheers, like "Love you, Paris." She goes, "Love you too." And then Letterman, without missing a beat, goes, "Ah, someone you met in prison." And the audience just erupts.
Like no one noticed that. Like no late night host is doing mean.
No,
you know
no.
They're all the nicest guys in the world. Like it is so race to the finish kindness. That you kind of miss that edge because it's almost like, I wonder if there's something where they feel like they can't do it because they don't feel like they can touch him, you know?
But then what are we watching? I don't,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Corden, what are we talking about? The nice, and also Paris was not the first person that Letterman was mean to.
Exactly.
You know, like if she was his first target, it'd be like, I don't know.
No, yeah. But like, I feel like Kimmel does a great job.
I think so too. I feel like he does everything he can to make it a real interview and between two human beings rather than playing a game or whatever we're doing on these other things.
Exactly. And I feel like people who work there like come out like, I don't know, really enjoying that experience.
Lewis loves him.
I worked there. And
that's right. Yeah.
He is an actually nice person.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just a real person on television rather than the reverse of what I think is happening on other shows.
That's right.
All right. So this is the Mario voice cast. And let's see if you agree with me that this is wrong. Not that these people shouldn't be in the movie, but just that it should be switched around.
Sure.
Chris Pratt is playing Mario. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with this based on voice casting only.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anya is Peach. Sure. Charlie Day is Luigi. Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. And Jack Black is Bowser. Correct me if I'm wrong. Seth Rogen should be Bowser.
He's got that gravelly voice.
Like, and also Bowser's number one thing is that he's a comedic genius. I feel like, not that Jack Black isn't literally hilarious, but I feel like Jack Black is giving me more, Donkey Kong. I feel like Charlie Day.
Charlie Day should be.
Mario.
I was going to say, yeah, that works.
Keegan should be Luigi, I think.
They got to bring in someone new for Toad. I don't know who that kicks off.
I'd say, you know what? Maybe Chris Pratt would be a funny Toad, but I don't get Keegan-Michael Key for Toad. Like, what's the take
there? No, you need a bright... Not that Keegan doesn't have a bright, lovely voice.
Charlie Day should be Toad. Damn.
Charlie Day should be Toad.
Oh, interesting choice.
You're saying Chris should be Bowser?
Chris Pratt should be Donkey Kong.
Yes.
Jack Black should be Mario. Keegan should be Luigi. Seth should be Bowser. And Charlie Day should be, I don't know. What
Mario?
Charlie Day should be Toad. That's it. Period.
Love it.
Charlie Day as Toad makes sense to me. Perfect sense.
100%.
None
of these
fired.
Characters should have voices. It should be a silent film.
I agree.
It should be, you know, Shaun the Sheep.
The artist.
Yes.
The artist. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be really unsettling to hear them say more than four words. I mean, like... To me, the longest Peach has ever spoken aloud in real life is at the beginning of Mario 64 when she's like, please come to my castle for a cup of tea or whatever the fuck she says.
She mostly says, oh.
Right.
She mostly says, oh.
She says a variety of things throughout Mario Kart. She wrote that beautiful letter at the beginning of Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's screaming.
And then she's screaming.
Well, she iconically IEs when she goes into the water.
And Mario
Kart. Toad, I'm Toad, and so you get a lot of, wow, and you get a lot of, like a lot of that shit, which I kind of love. And I just feel like that is Charlie Day energy.
And the Toad scream, the Toad effort or whatever that people don't talk about enough is, you're talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Amazing. Amazing. So dropped in.
It's one of the best sounds.
Bridger, did you ever play Super Mario Galaxy? Did this video game appreciate? Oh my god!
If there's a new Mario game, I'll play it.
You play Odyssey? I feel like I should revisit because people like really wrote that off pretty quickly.
It's pretty good.
It's good. I just kind of played it, and I finished it in like 2 days, and so like I have no memory of it. But I feel like if I were to start again or try to get all the moons, I think I would like really enjoy it.
It's delightful. There's the nightclub singer. I mean, there's just bizarre.
Pauline,
right, Pauline.
She's the mayor and the nightclub singer.
Yes, she does it
all. Oh my god, Matt, you would die for Pauline.
I bet I would.
She's in a red dress. She's the mayor of New Donk City.
New Donk City?
New Donk. And there's this whole segment once you beat that world where she sings this beautiful jazz song as Mario, like, jump around skyscrapers, you turn into a 2D version of yourself, 8-bit version of Mario, taking coins, while this gorgeous, the most beautiful song you've ever heard in the world plays, and there's fireworks, it's in the night sky, one of the most beautiful, I genuinely believe, like, a lovely moment in video games.
Truly, it feels like a monument.
Yes.
Mm. I want to drive into New York. I want to drive into New York City with that song just blaring.
Yes!
Oh, crossing
I'm doing
the
that
bridge.
The next time.
You have
yes.
to.
Yes! I always play like I'm so fucking stupid and basic, but it's like a college thing that we used to do when we would drive back into the city. We would play "The Boys Are Back in Town." It's very 2008. Like you're 19 years old, but like I'm gonna try that next time.
Another good choice when you're returning home is Maxine Nightingale's "Right Back Where We Started From."
Oh, gorgeous!
Perfect end of a road trip song. Perfect song.
Perfect song. I have something to ask you. You might have already talked about this on Homophilia with Matt McConkie and Dave Holmes, but your Weezer connection, I feel like we can both relate to on a deep level, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Are you both Weezer people?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of lame because I came to them late when they went pop. So like when I heard I'm your daddy, I was like, who's this?
No.
I'm not even
part
kidding.
Of the problem.
I know, big time. But that's sort of my cross the bear.
I'm your daddy. Was that the Red album or is that Ratitude?
I feel like that's Ratitude. That's where I get blurry.
Yes, of course. That's where a lot of people get blurry, but I feel like I think you were saying that like Weezer was your first sort of like latch key out of this like cultural desolation that was growing up in Salt Lake City.
I got the Blue album at Walmart, I think 8th or 9th grade.
Mm. Wow.
Would put it on repeat while I played, I hate to return to video games, but Wave Race 64 for hours.
Oh my God.
And that was the first like that, yeah, led to other music and then to, unfortunately, Pitchfork and all this nonsense.
No, we've all been there.
What can I say? Rivers Cuomo defined how men who read dress, basically maybe for the rest of time.
Yeah, he was definitive. He is an aesthetic icon, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm hooked. I'm trapped, unfortunately, in whatever their cycle is.
Still?
Do you find him attractive?
No.
Got it.
I will say, before Andrew Cuomo, before the Cuomo sexual for Andrew Cuomo,
yeah.
there were gay Weezer fans who identified as Cuomo sexuals.
Damn.
How rough to have that taken from him by that flop.
Took it from them.
Right. Yep.
So rough.
But I've never found Rivers attractive.
Really? Yeah. I feel like that's part of the appeal for some people is they're like, oh, this like guy who reads. I love that's perfect.
He's very cute.
Yeah.
He's like cute in the way like a Sanrio character's cute.
he's Bats Maru. He's Caribou. He's the frog. That's adorable.
He is the frog. He's exactly he is the frog.
Honestly, I would like to see Rivers in the Mario movie. I think Rivers would be an interesting toad, to be honest. Like
now
sort of
that
giving
you've
the
said
information.
That, he will be.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's going to end up in the movie.
I think that would be good.
But this is interesting. Let's talk about this. Rivers Cuomo is cute. That, I think, like, is unfortunately what everything else is built around. This idea that, like, he is this Peter Pan. What's that movie that Robin Williams was in where he doesn't grow up?
Hook.
Hook, babe.
Hook.
Oh.
No,
oh. Or are we talking Hook. About...
No, it's not that he never grows up. It's that he grows so fast. It's called Jack.
He grows
Jack.
So fast. Jack, that's right.
He iconically like, grows up incredibly fast.
And is that a Coppola movie?
What?
Yes.
I think it is.
And I think it's one of J-Lo's first roles. She plays the teacher.
What?
Oh, yeah. My God.
And Diane Lane is in it.
And of course, Diane. We can't forget about Diane.
Let me
anyway, this
that.
Is... Okay, please, while you're doing that... River, I think he's like really leaned in a little too hard to the point of no return where he's like, I might be in my mid 40s, but I will not ever leave the state of mind of being like a 22-year-old.
I have been thinking about this recently, and I think female songwriters age so much better than male songwriters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like the wisdom actually continues to come out in the songs. Male songwriters become famous when they're 23 and then stay 23 until they die, with a few rare exceptions.
You're so right. Absolutely. Like, yeah, that's
it. What's your relationship with Taylor?
Wait, Taylor?
Well, there we go.
Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed.
Her name is Taylor Swift. I like to call her Taylor.
I appreciate Taylor Swift like I appreciate like an Apple store where it's like it's pristine. Every detail has been poured. The money has been poured in to make this perfect for everyone. No one will be uncomfortable with this.
Sure.
But it makes it difficult for me to access on an emotional level.
Right.
I would say that she sort of supports your argument here where it's like even someone like Taylor Swift who got so famous at a young age can still develop in a healthy way as an artist.
Right.
Where now she's writing songs in this very mature way. Like, I just feel like that almost never happens with male artists. Like down to like, you know, I don't know, like maybe like the one person I can think of weirdly off the top of my head is like Robert Plant. It's like, oh, you made like a fun album with Alison Krauss. Like, good for you.
That is true. It's like you kind of get the feeling that maybe John Mayer was best when he first came out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a really interesting theory, Bridger. Thank you for introducing this. I could be wrong. No, I don't think you are.
Frequently, constantly wrong, but I don't know. The evidence is there.
You have not shown any evidence so far on this podcast that you've ever been wrong, because we only know you on this podcast so far and you've yet to be wrong.
Thank
so
you.
Your allegation that you've been wrong in the past is one that I certainly don't recognize yet.
In the last 20 minutes, I'm just going to shotgun blast of misinformation, just spreading, you know, bad.
Do you want to start? What propaganda do you want to say?
I have no propaganda. I actually feel like even joking about propaganda at this point plants the seeds in stupid people's heads. And they're like, well, it was said aloud. Maybe I'll look into this. And, I feel like the internet, you know, like how you a plant will only grow as big as the pot. I feel like the brain can be, the internet is this bottomless pot for stupidity. Like, your stupidity has no limits with the internet. You can be as dumb as you want.
Mm.
I feel like the internet is the plant and it can only extend as far as our brains go. You know, like there is, we've hit the ceiling years ago.
That's where the metaverse comes in.
There you go.
I don't understand how it works.
No,
any
and
of
in
that
fact,
means.
I literally saw, I think it was like, I saw like a screenshot of a article about what Meta was. And I literally was like, not only am I not reading this, I'm never finding out what this is. I am not engaging
you will,
with
unfortunately.
Meta. No. I am you not will. Engaging with Meta or Zuckerberg. Why do you say you will? Is it going to become undeniable?
Because it's, yes, I'm saying.
Don't
like,
you
it
dare
will...
sadly nod at me, both of you. Don't sadly nod at me.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen, Matt. You alone cannot beat back this tide. And it's unfortunate. It's so sad.
When I saw him standing with a little cartoon of himself and he had that stupid smile on his face and unfortunately he's got like a fat ass, I was like, get the hell out of here. It's one of the rules of culture. It's rule of culture number 35. Unfortunately
Zuckerberg has a fat ass.
He's got a donk on him. And let me tell you something.
No.
I don't like it at all.
No.
You don't want a fat ass on Mark Zuckerberg.
He's got a fat ass, though. And I remember he turned around, looked at himself as a cartoon, and I said, unfortunately, he's got a fat ass, and I looked at it. I'm not saying I was aroused. I'm saying I looked down. Okay?
Okay, Matt, you can't deny that you will know about Meta at some point very, very sort of thoroughly. And Bridger can't deny that Zuckerberg has a fat ass. Both
these
of
are the
are
undeniables.
I won't deny it, but I guarantee it's hideous.
Yeah. You know, it's like milk white and fucking pocked.
Like one of those deep sea fish, you know, that's like so far into the darkness that it begins to glow and like pulsate.
It's the outer darkness. Right? It's Mark Zuckerberg's ass is the outer darkness.
Yeah.
In the most white way possible. Disgusting.
There's no natural selection for beauty or aesthetics because there's no light that shines on it.
He
and
gets
therefore...
uglier all the time too. Like not to like, well, actually yes, to absolutely shame because he's literally ruining the world. But I feel like every time I see him, it's more Voldemort. You know what I mean?
mm-hmm.
He is like not aging, but not in like the good way when you're like, there's just something it's a stasis rather than
it's
just
a stasis.
Aging.
That's it. It's being, just sort of like deferred. Ugh. I don't know.
I don't like him.
Oh, favorite Weezer album before we move on? Pinkerton?
Those first two. I think, the song Tired of Sex is still, that and Get You are two of my favorite songs ever. They're so dirty sounding. Yeah. Who's singing about being tired of having sex? The backup vocals on Tired of Sex are so sassy and weird for like a straight band. I don't know. There's something very, I don't know. And the B-sides. Perfect music.
I mean, God, it's just there. Now you just got to really dig for the gems. Like, I think there are some great songs on Everything's Going to Be All Right in the End.
Decent album. It felt like they were turning things around. And then no.
And then no.
I feel like those first two albums are like next level for any type of music.
any type of music. You put it on today, it still works. Like, it's great.
They're very loud. They're very noisy and dirty sounding. And then Weezer, after that, I think occasionally is a good power pop band.
Well, you were in the Beverly Hills music video.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sorry.
I was. No, I was. Everybody. My sister and I were in it, and the Playboy Mansion, all I remember is that it felt very poorly taken care of. The grass looked terrible.
Of
there was
course.
Bird shit everywhere.
What? Mm-hmm.
It was shot at the Playboy Mansion.
No, I know that, but I can't believe it wasn't maintained.
Oh, it felt like an old person's house. You know,
yeah.
Like someone who was just like didn't have the means to take care of it. It was very dingy.
Hugh Hefner found dead.
Found dead.
True.
I could find him dead now if you want.
You know that we announced that he died on this podcast and then we had to do a re-record because he wasn't dead yet. And then he died 4 months later. But we heard that he died, announced that he was dead, and then we had to rescind.
We rescind that announcement.
Wait, who gave you the information that he had died?
Matt, I remember Matt finding it, like looking at it on Twitter, being like, oh my God, all these tweets are saying Hugh Hefner is dead. We have to like respond.
We have to talk about it. It's cultural. Like, we have to talk about it. We have to respond. We have to.
What was the time span between you recording and releasing the episode?
I think by the time we stopped recording, I like looked into it for maybe 2 seconds and was like, he's not dead.
But we had to go back and re-record like, hey, just so you guys know, like you're about to listen to an episode that talks in depth about the life and death of Hugh Hefner. We have to say this is the first Peter Smith episode, everyone.
Yes.
But we literally, I think, did a hard 15 minutes on his death. But up top, we said, hey, just kidding about the next 20 minutes, people.
There was no way of cutting around it. So
Desperate for a scoop.
That's really
what
this
say,
is.
Last thoughts. I feel like I don't ever get to talk about Weezer on this podcast. Make Believe, that album that Beverly Hills is on, has some great songs on it as well.
I think the production doesn't do it any favors.
Sure.
It
absolutely
sounds terrible. Some of the songs are catchy. The lyrics are horrible, but I mean, post 2000 with Weezer, what are you going to get?
Post Green Album, it's like, it's tough.
Right.
But then Red Album had some interesting things.
Right.
El Scorcho on Pinkerton is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Sounds fantastic. I feel like there was a period when Rivers, Green Album Maladroit, was recording nonsense lyrics, which he got a lot of shit for.
Yeah.
But I would much prefer the lyrics to be just absolute stream of consciousness rather than like trying to sound like a teenager in love. I don't need a 50-year-old man singing about being in love and going to the mall.
You are my baby tonight, and I'm your daddy. Oh, what a good song. What a good songwriter.
One of the worst.
It's one of the best songs.
They have
ever.
A song on that album. They have a song on Ratitude called The Girl Got Hot. It's so
despicable.
Stupid. It's terrible.
Despicable.
Like, this girl from high school who didn't look that good, now she's hot. Can you believe it? It's so
does that make you look
awful.
At all the work beforehand and be like, maybe we were wrong because they're progressing to this? Or do you think it was ironic?
I think it's just that person had a genuine mental break. And I think we are watching a new person operate in the world at this point.
So it's sort of like when Jewel was like, follow your heart, your intuition.
Yes. And would you say that Jewel was a different person after that? That was the inflection point?
Absolutely.
Kit Mouse can't find a job.
I forgot about Pop Jewel.
03, 04.
Alarming.
Not a bad album, but it certainly wasn't Foolish Games.
Sure. I think it's time, Matt.
I think it might be time before I can even start to get into the Liz Phair of it all. Because actually,
here's
the thing. That's turning to pop the right way, because Why Can't I is actually one of the best pop songs ever. And that was ironic, and you could tell.
I don't know.
In a fun way. But in a fun way. In a fun way where she was like, I mean, I can do this. And wouldn't it be hilarious if I had a huge fucking pop hit that was in the trailer for every rom-com? Like, watch when I do pop better than any pop girl. And I'm Liz Phair and have been and will be. I think it's iconic.
I mean, people, like, I remember that Pitchfork rating. Was that like a 0.0 or like
a 1.0?
Yeah,
they didn't get it at all.
And then recently when Pitchfork released that like new batch of like, these are our changed scores.
Oh, sure.
They did that for some Weezer album, I forget which. But then with that one, with that Liz Phair album, they were like, we were we were being such smug assholes.
No kidding.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, they got the pylon they deserved when they came out with that. They were like, yeah, fuck you. And like, I'm like, Charlie XCX, God bless her, was like, LOL. Like, no one understood Vroom Vroom. Like, when she first started working with Sophie. I remember loving Vroom Vroom when no one else did. And Colin Cordipassi, our friend, made fun of me. And I was like, no, this is like really cool and new and like innovative. And then everyone's like, no, this sounds like noise. I'm like, you guys don't get it. And I feel very vindicated.
Bowen has been talking about fantastic. Vroom Vroom forever. Fantastic. So good.
Also did not, it felt like just slightly ahead of the, it didn't feel like music from space, you know, it was like, exactly. This is just a new pop music. I don't know why that was so hard for people to understand.
And Charlie is. She's getting better. She's so
good.
She is really, I mean, especially like, good. I feel like her aesthetic lately, like in the Good Ones music video, I'm like, she looks absolutely stunning. Like, she was one of those girls where when she first came out, I never really understood what she looked like. I couldn't like see her when I heard her. And now it's like, I feel like she's crystallizing, which maybe was honestly the point in the beginning, because she was sort of like, you know, computerized in a way. And now it's sort of like, I feel like she's crystallizing and like becoming like real to me in a way where I'm like, it's really exciting because I've enjoyed her for so many years. And now I feel like I'm getting like what the POV is finally. Does that make sense, Bo?
Well, you're late to the fucking party.
That's actually fine, because at least I'm at the party. It's better to be at the party. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay.
I will say the way she walks in the Good Ones video, it could not, I mean, that song, there's no other way to walk to that song other than like extremely purposeful power walking.
Stomp.
With like, yes, it's incredible.
Do you like to stomp?
Do I like to stomp?
I did not. Well, who did you think I asked? And did you not hear the question?
There are 10 other people in this Zoom. No. I'd like to know.
Are they the guests?
I love to stomp.
Good.
There you go.
The next time you see me,
I'm going to be stomping.
I will stomp into whatever room you're in.
I'm a stomper, and people sometimes see me on the street and will text me and be like, what were you listening to? And I'll be like, oh, shoot. I wasn't even meaning to stomp, but I guess I'm just a stomper.
I'm a stomper, too.
You really are.
I would love to see you in person soon if I'm in LA.
We should do it.
We'll figure something out. I'm saving all this. I should save all this end chit-chat for later. Let's do I Don't Think So, Honey.
Let's.
Oh, boy.
Let's do it. Okay.
Bowen, what's I Don't Think So, Honey?
It is our segment in which we each take 1 minute to rail against something in culture. I have something.
Damn right. You want to go? Yeah?
No. Why break from tradition? We're going to go with Matt first, then I'll go, and then we'll have Bridger come in.
I have something, too.
Okay, great. Let's just get right into it. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey sold out. Okay, so there's nothing left for me? That sucks. I want it. A lot of the best things are getting sold out lately. So what does that mean? Like, I can't participate? Sudie Green wanted one thing for her birthday, a Wendy Osefo candle. Go to the website, sold out. SOL, shit out of luck. Oftentimes, some of the best pop stars will announce concerts. You go to get tickets, sold out.
Oh,
unbelievable. That means you can't even go
seconds.
To it. There's not a seat for you. All the seats have been bought. It's sold out. Also, the expression they quote unquote sold out, it has a negative connotation when sorry, but that means they're doing absolutely incredible. And if something is sold out, a lot of people are there enjoying it, hon. So I guess they're doing something right. Are you sold out? No, there's a lot of you available and we can hear it. So what, next thing I know, I want tickets. Not sold out, I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. You know, there's supply chain issues and things are hard to buy right now.
They're so hard to buy right now. And the thing is, Douglas Bame said Matt's Christmas show. Yes, absolutely sold out. And I feel bad because now people are coming out of the woodwork being like, can I come? And I have to be like, no, sold out. And I refuse to add more dates because my throat will explode.
You hate being on either side of it.
I don't like the concept of it. That's why I said, I don't think so, honey. That's why I said it, Bowen.
Because
I don't like the whole thing. I don't like that people can't enjoy. I don't like that I can't enjoy. I don't like that. It, really, what this is about is it's famously birthday season. Everyone knows this. It was Bowen's birthday the other day. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Bowen.
Thank you, Bridger.
Sudi's birthday is upcoming, and so that means it's birthday season. For me, in my culture, it's birthday season now because it's Bowen and Sudi's birthdays. So I went to the Dr. Wendy Osefo candles website. All Bridger, you products would,
she's a Potomac housewife.
She's a Potomac housewife.
Potomac might be my next chapter.
Yes, I think that makes a total sense.
It's very good. Sudi literally said, I only want one thing and it's a Dr. Wendy candle and it's sold out. And that just sort of got me really thinking about this whole thing of sold out. And I started to get more upset the more I thought about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Has it's there ever upsetting. Been a time when something was sold out, Bridger, that you felt so upset?
You two, last night I went into the Los Feliz Albertsons for the first time since early pandemic. The days where the shelves were empty.
Sure.
Right.
I was genuinely an emotional experience seeing things on the shelves. I was like, oh, I shouldn't start crying right now.
Right.
I moved to Highland Park last August, so I haven't been to that Albertsons since. Mm-hmm. It was so jarring to be in the Albertsons, the Hollywood Albertsons.
Okay.
They have a very hooray for it.
They now have line. Every aisle is a different Los Angeles street. This is all part of the new remodel that I was not present for.
Sure. Yes.
But the last time I was in there, everyone was rushing around, couldn't get pasta, couldn't get flour, sold out, the worst sold out experience.
Ooh. Pandemic tings.
And supply shortage, I just had to buy my niece's Mario Kart Hot Wheels at Target because it sold out for my sister.
It's
so now I'm going to have to ship
ass.
It to Utah because whoever in Utah has bought it out. Sold out. It's a terrible thing to have.
Come on. I'm so sorry.
I'm on board with this.
If sold out didn't exist, you wouldn't have to experience
it. Right.
That.
If we just had endless things, no one would have to worry.
We need more renewable resources. It's rule of culture number 49. We need more renewable resources. Someone get on this. God, if Jesus was always involved, they should be able to figure something out.
This is so interesting because I have deliberately avoided the Trader Joe's that I went to on March 11th, 2020. Before they announced New York City was on lockdown, I remember going to this Trader Joe's in Tribeca. And it was the bleakest place New York experience I've ever had, where it was just like, oh, there's hundreds of people here. Nothing's on the shelves. Everyone's panicked. And like, this is the saddest experience I've had in this city. And then I've never gone back. And I don't think I ever will.
Don't return.
Yeah, you had a trauma.
But unless I have an experience like Bridger where I go back and I see things and I'm like, wow, this is the closure I needed.
It might be. It also is kind of a, it's just a jolt to the system. You just have a little spark, like a weird emotional spark you're not going to find anywhere else.
That's right.
The place for it.
If I want to feel something.
Right. It's like seeing a dead loved one brought back to life.
Yeah.
I think that's as close as you're going to get is going to Trader Joe's.
When people die, they're sold out. That's a rule of culture. 90.
They are sold out.
When people die, they're sold out. There's no more of them.
We're out of this item.
Can't find them anywhere.
We're out of this item.
When people die, you can't find them anywhere. Sucks.
Oh, no.
My daughter wants one for Christmas.
Oh, sold out of grandma this year. Anyways, Bowen, I don't have my phone because it's charging. Do you mind sort of timing yourself?
Yeah,
because
I'm
actually like, I don't know what, when you said you had, and I'm like, so honey, I got the chills. I was so excited.
It's not going to be that good. It's not going to be great. It's just I happen to be prepared for once. That's all.
Less excited now.
Okay, can you announce
yes.
for me?
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, immunity tablets, immunity capsules, vitamin C, specifically Airborne. You had a chance to stop this whole pandemic from happening if you really fucking worked.
He's pointing his
finger. I don't care what kind of virus it is. If there's a cartoon man on a plane going, oh, they're coughing next to me, I better pop this pill, it would have stopped the pandemic. If there's a cartoon man who is saying, I better take an Airborne, you better hope that it works. And guess what?
Seconds.
It didn't. You had a moment. You had an opportunity. You did not rise to the occasion, Airborne. Invented by a school teacher. Yeah, she's just stuck to grading papers.
Oh my God, the worst. So cruel.
You know what? Airborne gave us a false promise that sickness could be managed before at the onset of symptoms. And yet, look at where we are now. People are still dying. We're starting to get COVID treatments. Thank you, Pfizer. But I don't know. Airborne really could have stopped this whole thing from happening.
That's 1 minute. Go off.
If Airborne worked, we would not be in this situation.
I hadn't even thought of this until now. You are so fucking right. If Airborne was what it purported to be, we wouldn't be dealing with the worst health crisis in our lifetime.
It's a delicious drink.
But is that enough? We're getting orange. You know what else is a delicious drink? Sprite. So why don't I have that? If it's going to do the same thing, not heal me, then I'll
Sometimes you don't have a drink mix. You've got an Airborne. Throw it in there.
When do you have Airborne and not Sprite? What home?
All the time.
I say, what home?
All the time. I just think emergency Airborne, they really could have stopped this. I put the blame on them. Anyway.
Do you think they even do anything? Or do you think it's placebo culture?
I don't know. I mean, I took one today because I feel maybe a little... I'm just tired, but I'm like, maybe...
Well, you're run down.
I'm run down. But we'll see. If it goes south, then I'll let you know.
But if it helps, will you be honest if it helps?
I will. I promise.
What supplements are you two taking? I'm very curious. What's like a normal day supplement for you two?
Matt, you want to go?
Okay, so what I put in my body every single day is my prep. I do a vitamin D because I'm actually like when I don't go out in the sun all the time, I'm actually a touch vitamin D deficient, which is shocking to me. And then I will do a multivitamin and I do a lot of stuff. I as of late have been doing a lot of stuff with my skin, like, you know, that sort of thing. But though that's really it for me.
Skin stuff, supplements for your skin or like ointments and
things. Serums. And I'm for some reason including it in this banner.
Yeah, it wouldn't qualify as a supplement to some people. But
Take it back. Bowen, what about you? What are your supplements? And make sure to be really specific that they're supplements because
Because Matt fucked it up.
Yeah.
Because Matt fucked it
Don't
up.
Don't be like me.
No. Pure for Men actually makes this men's multivitamin now.
Oh, interesting.
It's lovely.
Are you shitting hard?
I don't think it has fiber in it.
Okay.
I just think they just happen to have this like...
They've expanded.
They've expanded their product line. And, you know, I'm really liking it. And that's about it. My doctor took me off prep because he was saying that it fucked with my like liver enzymes or something.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Okay,
so what are you on?
Nothing. And I'm just basically like not having sex. It's okay.
He didn't give any hope for anything?
For renewal. No, I mean, maybe. He was just like, for now, let's just like monitor this. And I was like, okay, fine. But sorry, might have to be like, hey, do you have a condom on ya?
I don't even know how to say that word anymore. Condom? What is that? I don't know. Used one since 2013.
What about you, Bridger? What are your supplements?
I mean, I'm asking because this morning I took just a generic vitamin and I thought these two might know something about supplements. I just don't know that I believe in them. I've been taking... I don't think these vitamins are doing anything for me. But I'm taking that. I'm taking fiber. And then I'm taking... I just recently got some... I can't remember what it is. For like hair and nails. Like,
love.
Oh.
And of course... Condoms. I'm swallowing condoms.
For hair and nails.
Don't do that.
But then you Google it. And of course, everyone says, oh, it's all bullshit. But I don't want to... I can't live in that world. I need to know... I need to have something at the beginning of the day that feels like I'm doing something.
My vitamin D levels got better when I started taking vitamin D. I want to say that.
Okay. Well, there
and
you go.
And my iconic doctor, who knows who she is and listens to this podcast, I think.
Okay.
Thank you for putting me on vitamin D because my vitamin D went up. Okay? It's that simple.
There you go.
But this is basically what it is, Bridger. It's like, I don't know if this is doing anything for me. And... crazy that you would market this product when you let's just see like it could have stopped this is all I'm saying.
It could have stopped it in its tracks.
Yes.
Oh. When I think about the tragedies of the last year and a half, 2 years, I blame Airborne.
Absolutely.
And of course that Cheeto.
Oh god.
I blame that cheetah.
I do love imagining like all of the alternate, if all of these cures that have been peddled had been replaced with airborne, if that was like what Rogan was encouraging people to just mix in some airborne. No one ever goes to airborne. Yeah. It's like something you find at the office. You feel a little under the weather and you're like, sure.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers was doing only airborne. He expected it to work.
Shailene and Aaron were both doing airborne. Okay.
I don't know. I guess I have to be down on Shailene again. The roller coaster with that one since she appeared in my life.
Ugh. Well, that's the story of Shailene.
She's like the damn Incredicoaster, so up and down.
She's your Rivers Cuomo. I think it's time for Bridgers. I don't think so, honey.
Oh, I think so too.
I'm so excited. Bridger, are you ready?
I have so many things I could do, but I'm going to do one that we're just going to do it and everyone's going to be mad at me.
No.
I hope so, because that you know what that means? More clicks for us. I hope that this is really
incendiary. No, people are not going to be mad in that way. They're going to be like, what are you talking? But actually, forget it. People need to hear this.
Yes.
Let's do it. This is Bridger Weinegar's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The dead bird I found in my backyard this morning. I'm sorry, but if you're going to be a bird in my backyard, you can be maybe dying and I can nurse you back to health, but you need to be alive and singing. I found a dead bird, which I then had to pick up with a garden spade. What do you do? I don't have time for a bird burial, and also my dog's gonna find it if I bury it in the backyard. So what am I doing? I'm walking to the trash can and dropping a bird in the trash. You can't. Maybe this is more of a no thank you, sweetheart. But I do not want. No one should have to deal with a dead bird in their backyard. It's unacceptable. No. And unseemly. The fact that I had to go through that this morning is unheard of. If another dead bird ends up in my backyard, then I have a problem. Is there a toxic gas? What am I dealing with? I don't think so, honey.
I think that, and that's 1 minute. And I think what you're dealing with is toxic gas in your backyard. You gotta get out of there.
I might be. Or a cat brought it back. Maybe a raccoon strangled it to death. There was no sign of real trauma. So it feels like the bird dropped from the sky into my backyard.
That bird was sold out, by the way. That bird cannot be found anymore. That bird was completely sold out, girl.
I would have done the same thing. I would have dropped it in the trash, and it's fine.
I felt bad not burying it, but I don't know. It was never going to be buried.
Can I say something? It literally, you probably handled it with more care than it would have been handled by nature. Nature would have had that thing decomposing on the side of the road, and that's facts.
It could have been a coyote dinner, you know?
But you think that's better than being plopped in a garbage can, dying of natural causes in a gorgeous man's backyard, a Los Angeles backyard?
I would rather be, when I die, devoured by coyotes than put in a trash can.
Well,
I'll put that out there. I want that on record.
Well, you and I do not have that in common. Put me in the damn simple human trash can. Why don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to sell out in my bed as an old man. That's how I want to sell out. I want to sell out of natural causes.
We're not using sell out as a replacement for, as a synonym for dying.
Sold out. Not available, honey. Check later.
Can I just say something else that I wanted to say? And then
you don't need our permission.
Do you want to do another? Yes. I don't think so, honey. Do you want to be the first person to ever do two?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I want to have a nice adult discussion about something that is insidious and very subtle in advertising right now and on restaurant menus, everything.
Let's
talk.
We're putting
the in front of things. The Cobb salad. My breaking point was the other day. I was walking through Target and I saw the golf pant.
Breaking point.
Target doesn't have the golf pant anyway. Have you noticed this? Have you seen the burger? Yes. It's like this bizarre, like trying to be definitive but kind of casual, because
that's
it's the lounge chair.
It's lies.
Oh,
it's lies. It's lies.
I'm chilled
it's
to the bone, to the
it's
marrow.
It's disingenuous.
We have to stop. It drives me out of my mind.
Keep an ear out for this. Someone has referred to someone else. I don't know who, but someone was like, they're amazing. They're the article.
And I'm what?
Excuse me?
The article?
They're the one, you know? Like, so I think that's a way of saying they're so exceptional that they're the article. I'm like, Oh my God. No, no.
You know what?
No,
the
no,
bun,
no.
You love it. I can see your face right now. You're smiling.
No, I reject it. I'm having, you're seeing a visceral response as I quote it back to you. And I think this is what's happening with the adding of the golf pan. It's like, wait, like, what is this obsession with? Oh, there can only be, there's one and this is it. And you love it. And you recognize it as the golf pant.
Right. The platonic version.
Yep.
Of, you know, the whatever.
The
fried
thing.
Chicken sandwich. The article, though. That's going to be 6 months from now.
Just look out for it. And both of you, just stay safe out there.
Well, I think we can agree that Bridger is the article.
Bridger Weiniger
every
is
morning.
The article.
How do I become
the article?
Yeah, but you didn't even have to try. Because you came in here today to Las Culch. You were the article. you are the number one. And we want people to listen to the podcast, I Said No Gifts. I Said No Gifts, the podcast. So do you have a problem with Megan Thee Stallion? Sounds like you do.
No, it's a double E.
Okay.
It's a double E.
If it was the Megan Stallion.
No, we'd have an issue.
Everyone would be extremely confused. Maybe that's a nice next step for her.
Yeah, maybe you're right. A little switcheroo, Prince status.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
The Megan Stallion.
Yes. Bowen, what an episode of Las Culch this was.
Bridger, thank you so much for coming on. This was a delightful conversation.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry to to just bring up a second complaint outside of the dead bird.
No.
But that I did feel like this. If there's ever going to be a platform that we can take that trend down, this is the place where it begins.
And we did it. Sold out.
Everyone listening, sell out the in front of things,
yeah,
on menus, on you know, catalogs, all of it. We don't want that. Call your senator now. Stay in line.
Call your senator, especially if you're in Arizona. Call up Kyrsten Sinema. She can get it done.
She can.
All right.
Will we end every episode with a song?
Yes, we do.
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be.
Give me, living in Beverly Hills, rolling like a celebrity. I'm straight singing this.
For more of that song, listen to Beverly Hills on Make Believe by Weezer. Bye.